seat for a moment. My name is Eric Byram. I'm one of the pastoral elders here at Grace Fellowship Church. I wanted to open us today with Psalm 100. And I want you to think, one of the watchwords for today is going to be community. So I want you to think about community as I read this. There's going to be a theme of community running through the service. So let's look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. As you come together today, look, I want you to look around you. I know we may have more coming in, but this is the body of Christ that you are part of this morning. And think about what part you are in that body. And my challenge for us today is to play I Spy. Say, God, who would you have me to bless today? Who would you have me to encourage and build up? And if the Lord puts someone on your heart to encourage or bless today, let's be sure to do that. Paul talks about the body of Christ is meant to build one another up in Christ-likeness and encouragement and exhort one another for love and good deeds. So let's be that body this morning. And I'm going to ask us all to stand if you're able, and we'll worship together again.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My
As I am lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. So as we think about the cross and what Christ did on the cross, his body broken for us, his blood poured out for us, the new covenant of his blood. He said, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. And that new covenant allows us to be what? Children of God. It grafts the Gentiles in. Once we're not a people, are a people. We are a community. So as we remember what he's done, it has brought us, it has made us a community, and it also draws us together as a community. So I'm going to take a moment to pray. And as a community, let's just come before the Lord. If there's anything in your life that God has brought attention to, that you want to confess to him, to repent of, this is the time, a good time for us to do that before we come. Partake of the bread. So I'm going to give just a moment of silence for us just to do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not only do that, but to purify us from all unrighteousness. You're just in that you paid the price, Jesus. Sin demanded a cost, and you took that cost on yourself. You've paid it in full. And not only do you forgive us, but you cleanse us and purify us from that. You give us white new clothes to wear, your righteousness. We are so grateful for that. As we partake this morning, remind us of all that this stands for, and remind us of yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. So here at Grace Fellowship, we come forward row by row. We're going to first have the prayer team come forward, and they will stand at the back. And if you need prayer today for anything, feel free to go to them. And then we'd ask Rose to come up and go through and then go back to your seat. All baptized believers are welcome to participate in the Lord's table. So the table of the Lord is open.
Thank you.
Sing out your praises. Baskets, the square ones are for the cups. If you have the cups from communion, put those in them. And the other is for our offerings to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jehovah Jireh, thank you that you provide. You provide opportunity for us to work, energy to work, skills. You give us what we need, and we give back now just with glad hearts, asking that we would bring glory to you. You can be dismissed now for Sunday school, so fifth grade and below, you can go upstairs. The teachers are going to be at the back to see you up to Sunday school, so I'm going to dismiss you. I just want to announce the birth of Strider Benjamin Detweiler. Is it Detweiler or Detweiler? Okay. So Manuel's here. Congratulations. How's he doing? That's good. Are you sleeping yet or not too much? Okay. I remember those first 3 months. One person gave me the advice, after 3 months, life starts again. So it was very helpful. And we got a birthday this morning. I don't know if he's here. I don't see him. But Justice Gardner is not today, but on the 17th will be his birthday. Sorry. So Justice, happy birthday. Couple anniversaries, Jerry and Linda Mathias on the 16th, so they'll be celebrating their anniversary. And Rick and Joanne Widener, if you know Rick and Joanne, they're on the 16th as well. So I'm going to ask Greg to come up. Greg's going to give us some final words about the conference that is coming up this coming weekend.
Also, just really want to say thank you, worship team. You just did a wonderful job serving the Lord and serving us. So, just a final reminder that the conference begins on Friday, and today is the last official day to sign up. also want to say, for those of you who are have children, we will have child care for the entire conference, and that includes the community celebration night. So there will be child care during that time, too. Thank you.
And if you are going to turn that in, is Kay Vegas the person, or is it someone else? Kay Berry, okay. So Kay would be the one you want to track down to say I'm coming, and to should be right back at the welcome table. She'll take your money gladly, so. All right. And one thing I want us all to work on right after we finish the service, in order to get ready for that conference and community celebration, we're going to ask that we could move the chairs along the side. We're not going to stack them, but just if we could disassemble the rows and put them along the side after before you go to Circle Church this morning. So you don't have to do it right now, but we're going to do that at the end of the service to help out. You may have seen one of that one right now. We're looking to furnish the church apartment. So we have an empty church apartment, and we want to furnish that for retreats. Okay, so we don't want you, I could ask you, but I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I want you to think about, when was the last time you went on a spiritual retreat for yourself? And I imagine many of us would say, what's that? But one thing we want to provide is opportunity for you to go away for maybe a day or several days to do a prayer retreat or a praise retreat or some sort of retreat where you are practicing that spiritual discipline of prayer, maybe of silence, maybe of solitude, or all three together, and you're spending time with the Lord. John 15 says, abide in me. Abide means to stay, to remain. And we hope that it's not a matter of if, but when, that you do spiritual retreats, that you do these regularly. You maybe say, I'm going to take the day off work. I'm going to use a vacation day off work. I'm going to do a spiritual retreat. Spend time with the Lord. And we want to provide a place that you can do that for free, or if you can help donate to help make that happen. But we're going to need some furniture in that. So look in your bulletin. There's a list of things that are in there. And we like that to be regularly being used by our congregation, but also by others in the community. So Mary Ray's been spearheading that. So talk to her if you have something you'd like to donate that's on that list.
Fellowship, we have four core values. We have grace, that's kind of the overarching one. Then we have relationship with God and others, discipleship, becoming more like Christ, and service to God and others. So we've been focusing on that fourth core value of service. And this message brings to close our thematic year. We're going to start a new theme next week. Can you believe that? And we have gone through a journey this year. We did the journey of a Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120 through 134. And then after that, we journeyed through 1st and 2nd Timothy. And we saw through the Psalms of Ascent that this idea of a journey of outward of service is life is a journey together. And we talked about that in the Psalms of Ascent. And in 1st and 2nd Timothy, we saw Paul's word to Timothy, a servant of the Lord, as he gave many truths about how to serve the Lord in difficult settings, in difficult and challenging times. So we're going to be wrapping up this, we're looking at 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 22. And one thing that's interesting is service is very important in God's kingdom. Service is very important in God's kingdom. What did Jesus say? The greatest person is the one who what? Up Timothy today, we're seeing that 4, 9 through 22 mentions many people. I was talking with Chris one. Do your best to come. Bring Mark. Bring my cloak and the parchments. Beware of Alexander. Greet so-and-so. I won't go through all the names. And then finally he wraps up again. He says, do your best to come. So there's two imperatives that are the same. He's saying, I really want you to come quickly. Come before winter. So those inform us as to what is this section of the book about. Paul is valuing community, even when he's alone. So if I was to summarize this section, I would say this. Remember that we serve best in community. Remember that we serve best in community. So I'm asking Christina to come on up, and we're going to look at 2 Timothy 4, 9 through 22. Sometimes when we're reading these last sections of the letters, you just kind of skim through it like you might skim through one of the genealogies. You're kind of like, okay, I'm going to get through this. Maybe you pause a little at verse 16. You know, that seemed like a little nugget of truth there. But actually, all of this has some nuggets of truth in it. You know, as we unpack this idea of remembering that we serve best in community, I noticed three aspects that I wanted to emphasize today. First, remember that we serve best in community even though we can be hurt by community. Second, remember that we serve best in community because we can't do it alone. And finally, remember that we serve best in community because we are supported by community. So let's look at that first point. Remember that we serve best in community even though we can be hurt by community. You know, serving with others is powerful, but it opens us up to hurt. Imagine if I took a survey of you and asked, how many of you have been hurt in community? About every one of us would say, yeah, I have. You know, anytime we bring other people into the picture, there is potential for deep wounding. We see this in Paul's words. He talks about Demas in verse 10. Demas was part of Paul's inner circle. He's mentioned two other times in the New Testament. But says here, Paul uses kind of a harsh word. He said, he deserted me because he what? What does it say he did? He loved this present age, this present world. And Paul used the word agape there. And that's interesting. He loved this world, so he abandoned me. So he was hurt. He was abandoned by Demas. But he was also talks about Alexander the coppersmith who did him great harm. Now, we don't know if Alexander was always opposed to Paul or if they knew each other and at some point Alexander turned. And he said he did me great harm. And arrested in Troas and had to, he was taken into custody and had to leave all that stuff behind very suddenly because he was taken into custody by the Romans. Not only were Demas and Alexander hurtful to Paul, but in verse 16 he says, "At my first defense, no one came to stand by me." So in the Roman legal system, there was like a first defense. Because you may say, well, now he's got Luke with him and all these other people, but he's speaking of something that probably just happened and the way they did the legal system. And that would have been a good time for others to come to his defense and say, "I vouch for this guy." And in that, nobody stood with him. They all deserted him. And he says here, may it not be held against them. That one was maybe out of fear or some other reason. So when Paul most needed people to have his back and to stand with him, he looked around and no one was there. So we can all be hurt by depending on others. Proverbs talks about sometimes when you lean on a fool, it's like leaning on a broken reed. It jabs your hand or an ankle that doesn't work. It's hard if people fail you. And if you do rely on others, they will at times. But we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because we will sometimes be hurt in community does not mean that we should never be involved in community. I always try to encourage people, don't live out of your woundedness. Go to God for healing in those areas where you have been hurt by the church or by community. Well, I don't know about you, but I have been hurt. If you serve the Lord long enough, you will be hurt. But do we isolate ourselves to protect ourselves? I think of, I've been to Africa. We did one of those little safaris outside of Kenya when we were there, when we were in Kenya. The national park comes right up to Nairobi. And you see herds of various animals. And why do animals stay together in herds? It's safer, right? If you've ever watched Discovery Channel or one of these other documentaries, what do the lions go for? Who does the lion go for? The straggler, right? The one that's not in the herd. So when you and I isolate ourselves, we open ourselves up to attack from the enemy. I find so many people that maybe they've fallen into sin or they have been hurt by others, and rather than drawing into community for healing, they isolate and step away from community. I'll come back when I get better. But I'd say that's a very dangerous thing to do, because when we isolate ourselves, we open ourselves up to attack from the enemy. And usually it does not get better. So what does it mean that, even though Paul faced all these tough things in community, you see here that he's still seeking out community. Twice in here, he says, "Timothy, come with me." He says, "Now I have Luke with me. And here's a bunch of other people to say hello." So even though he was hurt, he didn't say, "Forget it. I'm done with community." He's still greeting people elsewhere. He's still talking to those there with him and greeting those people. And he's continued to seek out community, even though it was hurtful to him in the past. There's a song by Simon and Garfunkel in 1965. So anyone here remember 1965? We got a few? Okay. So I don't. I was still a twinkle in my mom's eye at that point. Or my dad's eye, whatever you say. Simon Garfunkel wrote a song, "I Am a Rock." I want to read a little bit of this song. It says, "I'm alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock. I am an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I'm a rock. I'm an island." And you could go on. The rest of it is interesting too, but at the end it says, "A rock feels no pain." So sometimes when we get hurt, we isolate. We become a rock. But what happens is when you and I isolate and say, "I'm done with community, I'm not going to serve in community, I'm going to do it by myself," we lose an essential aspect of what it means to be human. If we say, "Love is hurtful, therefore I will not love," we never open ourselves up to love again. And, this new covenant, one of the major commands of Jesus is what? To what? love your brother, love your sister. He talks about serving your enemy, being kind to those who despitefully use you. So isolation is not an option for us. Now, there may be an option for healthy boundaries. You see this, Paul says, watch out for Alexander, he's a dangerous guy. So just because we open ourselves up to community, we need to figure out what are healthy boundaries, right? This is not just carte blanche, giving a blank check to everybody. There is trust that needs to be built, but we need to be open to building trust with people and building community. So how are we to do this? Well, I see several things Paul does that are healthy here. He forgives. He forgives. You see several times in this passage, if you know a little bit of the context of Paul's life, he forgives. And here he asks Timothy to bring Mark. Who is Mark? Do you know the context of Mark? Not my brother who's here. This is a different Mark. Say hi, Mark. Hi, Mark. Okay. Mark, you're useful for ministry, according to Paul here, so that's a good thing. Why? What happened? What was the context with Paul and Mark? Gave those who deserted him. He said, may the Lord not hold it against them. And he even put vengeance in the Lord's hand. Alexander hurt me greatly. I'm going to leave it in the Lord's hands. I don't need to get even with him. All right? So those are some great approaches to being back in community. And then he also seeks out community. I know a lot of people say, they might come to a church and they say, well, nobody was nice to me. Nobody reached out to me. But maybe they sat in the back row and their arms were crossed and it kind of looked like, don't come near me, I'm a porcupine, you know? I don't know. But you and I have to seek out community. It's not everyone else's job only. It's our job as well to reach out, to open ourselves up to community. Verse 16, you know, you see Paul forgives those who failed to stand by him. And he leaves Alexander's situation in the hands of the Lord and puts healthy boundaries by warning Timothy to beware of Alexander. So underneath it all, we see that even when community failed Paul, he was strengthened by the Lord himself. Look at verse 17 and 18 if you're following along. He says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. I'd encourage you to do another study. There's several times that the Lord himself stood by Paul and strengthened him during his ministry. Put that in your Bible search. It's interesting when this happens. It's happened several times, so I'm not going to go into that this morning. So one thing we can gather from that, community is not always what's going to most strengthen you. Your first priority is to stand with the Lord, to know that God is the one that strengthens you. Community is next up in the priorities. And that will help you the most. When you get, if you think community is everything and it fails you, you'll give up on church. But if you have a strong foundation in the Lord, when community fails you, it may knock you off kilter, but you say, God is my true source. But this isn't just Jesus and me, and I do it by myself. It's Jesus and me. When I'm by myself, he's still there. But he has called us to be in community. Because some people can take that to an extreme, and they just think it's just them and God, and that's all they're going to do. So not only do we need to remember that we serve best in community, even though it can fail or hurt us, secondly, remember that we serve best in community because we can't do all the work alone. We see from Paul's life that he constantly surrounded himself with an inner circle of people that went on all these mission trips. He never went alone. If you look and study Acts, he always went with other people. He realized that his work would be multiplied Dalmatia, Cretans to Galatia. These other people, he trusted them enough to declare the gospel fully, and he didn't need to go himself. He was training up others. We can't do the work of the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission, everybody? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you and I have all, we're all called to go into all the world and make disciples. How many people live in the world right now? What's the population of the world? 8 billion. You know, flying back from the mission trip, you know, we flew into a big city in India, we flew into Kathmandu, we flew into Chicago, and as you're flying into those cities of several million, you see all those houses, and it kind of becomes real how many people are there, and it kind of overwhelms you. So when he says, Lori, go into the world and make disciples, and you think 8 billion, you go, wow, how could I make any difference? But did you know that if you and I make it a value to reach one person every year and disciple them and train them to disciple others, you could have an exponential effect, not just an addition effect. And that's why I challenged us last week. Some of us say, well, my main discipleship is my family. And I say, true, but God's called you to more than just your family. He has called you to be making disciples of all the nations, not just little Johnny and Jane who are in your house. So bring them along. Take them into mission. Be reaching out. Show and model for them that you are discipling one person a year. I believe we all could do that and ask God, who is that person you want me to pour into and impart the value of making other disciples? You know, if we have some mathematicians. I bet Andy here could tell me, like, if I had 30 years that I was making a new disciple every year who then made another disciple, how many people would that add up to over 30 years? We would have exponential growth. Not even multiplication, but exponential. So this small little group of 80 or so people could make a worldwide impact. Think about that. We serve best in community because we can't do it alone. So as you're serving, are you taking others with you? As you go to the hospital to visit someone, are you taking someone with you? As you disciple someone else, are you bringing someone else with you? It's a challenge to me. I felt challenged by this, so I'm not just speaking to you all. I think of kids. Who here has raised children? Is it hard to train kids to do chores? You know, I could do it so much faster myself and better. Why do I have to train this person? But if I will take the time to show them how to do it, do some quality control, and check on that, and bring them to the point where they're doing it to the quality I desire, they can eventually do it better than I do it. I multiply my efforts. In the same way, you might say in your service, I could play the guitar better than this person. I could witness better than them. But if you never bring them along and train them up in that, you're not multiplying yourself. So it takes patience and time to multiply ourselves. But the end result is so much better than just us being the star or us doing it alone. So the task is large, over 8 billion. But God has given us each other. He's given us the body of Christ. We can be doing this and making a big impact, even with our small little lives. So we serve best together, and we can't do it alone. Thirdly, remember that we serve best in community because we are supported through community. You can see that Paul was encouraged by his relationships, and he longed for them. They were a great support and comfort to him. Twice in this passage, he implores Timothy to do his best to come before winter and to bring various items with him. If you and I try to serve alone, we have no one to encourage us or to spur us on. Take a lesson from geese. We're heading into fall. How do geese fly? In a V. Occasionally you'll see a goose by itself. But they probably fell out of a line and had to take a break on a pond. They're trying to find the V again. But the reason they fly in a V is the first one, the leader, cuts the air and the others get the draft. one gets tired, that one kind of goes back, and another one takes the lead. You and I serve better together with others because we support and encourage one another. We can do so much more, go so much further than we ever would by ourselves. I've seen this in practice here at Grace Fellowship. I've seen it in our ministry to Madison School District. We start off with just a couple people, and now we have a good number of folks serving. And when we go to do the game club or other things, more people can minister to those kids a lot better than just one or two of us. And we encourage one another, and we pray for those kids. And we ask that God would work in their lives, and we get excited when God does do things. I've seen it with Kids DTS this year. There was over 10 people on the planning committee, and each person was doing their part. No one was getting burnt out by it. It was really cool. And we were seeing young people. I saw Rui was taking notes, and Oliver and others. They were involved in decision-making. So we're seeing some aspects of that happen here at Grace Fellowship. And we can even see more of that. It's my hope that this year we have learned more about service to God and others, and we have learned to make this a life value that we practice. We serve best in community, even though it can hurt us. We serve best in community because we can't do all the work alone. We serve best in community because we are supported and encouraged in community. So I want you to think, if you are not involved in some type of service today, this is not a guilt trip to you, but an invitation. Get involved. Your gifts are wonderful, and they're needed, and they're valuable. And if you're not sure where to plug in, talk to myself or one of the other elders. And let's find a spot for you to serve. Let's find some way for you to get engaged. Because I can tell you this, some of the best things I've done in life and experienced in life have come through service to God and others. And so, you know, it's much better than video games, much better than board games, much better than movies, any other thing. Serving God and serving others has been such a blessing and brings such joy. So I would love for you to be involved in that. Haven't had that opportunity, come talk to me or one of us, and we can get you plugged in, because it is great to serve God and others. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you've not sent us out alone, that you've given us the body of Christ that we can serve with, that can encourage us as we maybe go out alone to our jobs and our different contexts, but we can know others are praying for us and standing with us. So Lord, help us to remember that it's best to serve in community and serve with others. May we make that a priority in our lives. I think of those today maybe that are dealing with hurt from community. I pray that you would bring healing, that they would draw near to others rather than isolating and drawing away, and that you may allow them not to live out of their woundedness, live out of the fullness of grace and love that you have for them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one way you can delve into community is being involved with the Circle Church group. So I would encourage you, if you're not in one, there's one that meets out here, one in the kitchen, one in the lobby, one in the multi-purpose room at the end of the Sunday school wing. And the teens meet upstairs. So we're going to do that, and I'm going to say a benediction to us, and then let's remember to move the chairs off to the side. If you are not able to move chairs, no worries, but just those that can, if we can get the chairs moved off to the side. We're not going to stack them. We're just going to break up the rows and put them along the side. Kay's going to be available maybe to help point the way for that. So let's stand here for a benediction. We just raise our hands as an act of receiving. A benediction is a blessing. Go forth this week remembering all that God has shown you this past year about service to him and to others. Take time to review those things and refresh your memory. Remember that you serve best in community, even though there is the risk and inevitability of being hurt by community. Remember that you serve best in community because you can't do all the work alone. Remember that you serve best in